You're listening to a sermon podcast from Paramount Church in Columbus, Ohio. To learn more, visit ParamountColumbus.com.
Thank you guys very much. And I appreciate your time and preparing and leading us in songs and worship this morning as we worship together on this Sunday and again and in ways that are different than what we're used to. And so we strive to make the best of our situation. And so welcome this morning. I'm glad that you're here with us. I do pray for, as I talk to folks and they talk about the difference of not being here and being at home and the distractions. And I pray that God would give us non-distracting moments right now as much as possible. As you sit at home and it's just a little difference having that break of not being able to be here and see each other eye to eye, and you can rest assured your pastors long for all of us to be here as much as possible. So we are continuing in Hebrews as we are beginning our messages that will be brought as we each one take one for the Christmas season, and we're continuing on here in Hebrews this morning in Hebrews 13, 15 through 16. So there's two verses, and the title of the message this morning will be, Is Your Worship Working? Is Your Worship Working? So as we start to get started, because we're kind of zeroing in on just two small verses here, I want to kind of back out and take a little bit of a look. But let me ask you, do you ever have trouble remembering things? I'm a lot older than most in our congregation. Do you ever walk into another room and forget why you were there or what you went there to get? You ever forget somebody's name? I mean, like somebody that you like really know, you know, and then all of a sudden it's like, I know their name. You ever forget an important date, a birthday, someone special, special anniversary? My daughter had a birthday this week, and because I didn't forget, I had an early morning. And then in somewhat, I forgot to call, and because I called her late, she called me out on it. Dad, you forgot? I'm going, no, I had a busy morning. I had no excuse. Just even recently, just forgetting. And so as we back out, I talk about that because as we back out and you'll go back, and we look at these a lot of times in our preaching, we get really focused in, and then we kind of lose the big picture of the book in the chapter that we're in. And so if we were to go back and we look all the way back to chapter 12 and verse 5, he says, there is a lot of language here that talks about, hey, don't forget. In verse 5, it's like, remember, you have forgotten. Verse 9, he says, furthermore, verse 12, therefore strengthen. Verse 15, see to it. Verse 17, for you know. Verse 25, he says, see to it again. Verse 28, therefore, since we've received, brings its response. Chapter 13, verse 2, do not neglect. It can also be translated, don't forget. Don't neglect doing this. Don't forget. Verse 3, remember. Verse 5, make sure. Verse 6, so that. Verse 7, remember. Verse 9, do not be. Verse 13, so, because of, let us go. Verse 15, through him then. And then verse 16, it says, do not neglect. Do not forget. So there is the things that are being taught here are reminding the believers. And so this morning, I feel as though once my task here again, as really as always, is not so much for pastors to bring you this something that you've never heard, but to, once again, as Hebrews has already told us earlier, is to stir you up once again to love and good deeds. And so this morning in Hebrews chapter 13, 15 through 16, through him then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. And do not neglect, don't forget, doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. Let's pray one more time. Father, we do ask for distractions to go away. We ask for extra ability to focus and to concentrate and to listen and to hear you speak to us by your Spirit. May your words go forth this morning, and that we would be encouraged, and that we would be strengthened, and we would be drawn to you closer and closer in a love and a hunger for you that is insatiable. And so I pray that you will just take this time, that you will be honored and glorified, that you would guard my thoughts, my hearts, my words, and that they would be truth that will go forth, and that we would all be more like Jesus by being together. We love you. Thank you so much for Jesus. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Verse 15. Through him then. I want to stop and take a look and go, and through him, through Jesus. There's been a time in our church where through the teaching and something that we really miss right now in ABF and there, in some of the studies that we were doing, we came away with God's sovereignty. We would kind of hold up this triangle above our head and say, God's sovereign, wise, and good. And after a period of time, it went for a while. And it probably still is. As I say that, there are those who's like, yeah. And we still believe that. But I'll never forget one time Pastor Rush looked at me and said, hey, we need to be careful with that, because it's easy to be flippant and say, God's sovereign. God's sovereign. And in that moment, it can come across as uncaring, especially if you're talking about something that someone is going through that is extremely, extremely difficult, real suffering. A great loss, just to say God's sovereign. And I think as I've spent time in this passage, and I want to spend some time bringing attention back to Jesus this morning. It's funny because we were sitting talking earlier this morning. I'm back there, and when you're preaching, you're just a little bit different on that Sunday morning. And Holly kind of looks and says, what's wrong with Kevin? And then she says, oh yeah, you're preaching this morning. It's okay. Holy Spirit's got it, and you're going to tell us about Jesus. I'm going, you're exactly right. You're exactly right. I'm desperate for the Holy Spirit to do a work, and I am going to try to bring us back to a focus on Christ, on Jesus. And I think in that ability for sovereignty to become cold is that in that we forgot that above all of that, it ought to be that God is love. And that in God's sovereignty, he is lovingly sovereign. He is lovingly good. He is lovingly wise. He is love. And he has demonstrated this love to us in Christ. And so if this, in the things that we're going to look at here that should be coming from us in praises to God, I want to spend some time. Who is this Jesus? What does the Scripture say? And if you ever, you will go and do a word search. Through him goes over and over and over and over in the New Testament. It's repeated many times. If you'll turn, if you want to turn, or just write this down, go and read it later. But point one, we're going to be spending some time on the preeminence of Jesus Christ. I think to come back and say, what does the Scripture say about Christ? And that he is preeminent. And that if this is, we do this through Jesus. We cannot accomplish this apart from Jesus, the things that we will look at. So in 1 Corinthians 1, 15 through 22, and I'm going to take in the personal pronouns, I'm going to put them back into the proper name. And so as I read this, I want this to ring. I want this to be like guys that are replacing a roof in a neighborhood, and they're putting shingles on, and they got the air gun going, kabam, 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 kabam. I want Jesus to be exalted this morning. I want us to be drawn back to that. I think there's a danger that there's times where we even are afraid to even say the name of Jesus. Because once you say the name of Jesus, everything seems to change. It just has a polarizing effect over conversations, things that are taking place. And to me, it is obvious that God has chosen, yes, because of Christ, we do have access to God. But I think a lot of times we run right past Christ as we go to God. And we have no ability to get to God except apart from what Christ has done for us. The preeminence of Jesus. He, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by Jesus all things were created, both in heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Jesus and for Jesus. Jesus is before all things. In Jesus, all things hold together. Jesus is also head of the body, the church. Jesus is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that Jesus himself will come to have first place in everything. Hold on to that verse. That Jesus is to have first place in everything. It is through him in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in Jesus, and through Jesus to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of Jesus' cross. Through Jesus, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven, and although you were formerly alienated and hostile and mild, engaged in evil deeds, yet Jesus has now reconciled you in Jesus' fleshly body through death in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. Colossians 2, 3 and 6. Jesus Christ, in whom are all hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge in Jesus. Therefore, as you have received Jesus Christ the Lord, so walk in him. In him, through him. It's what it's how we live this life. Go to Philippians 2, 5. You write this down. You're going to keep moving. Be 5 through 11. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although Jesus existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, Jesus humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason also, God highly exalted Jesus and bestowed on Jesus a name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Jesus who strengthens me. Through Jesus, through him. It's through Jesus. If you don't get anything else out of this message, that is that the pursuit of our life in Jesus and to know the love of Jesus. I think it's I want to bring attention to this in the sense of, you know, well, we'll get there. Through Jesus, It's through Jesus. It's the beginning. It's our life. It's to the end. Have you had a beginning with Jesus? Would you say that you're a follower of Jesus today? Have you confessed that Jesus is Lord? Have you believed in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead and you have been saved? Can you say that? If not, I would say anyone who is listening and who may come back and listen to this in a recording, that if you don't know Christ, stop and come to Jesus right now. You don't have to wait till the end of a message. You don't have to wait. You may need more questions. You may need to talk to someone to explain this great love that has been demonstrated in Jesus. You need to come now. If you've heard this over and over and you have not made that decision, man, I would plead with you that you would pursue that. Talk to somebody. You're in a very dangerous place. Your heart is being hardened. Every time that you would reject that love in Jesus and who He is and what He has done, what God has done in Jesus Christ, demonstrating His love. What a story. Our proud hearts, our sinful hearts, our dead hearts cause us to reject and reject. And if God's Spirit comes and by faith He gives you grace, that grace humbles us and we see Christ in His glory and knowing that that is our only hope. And that we come to Christ and He saves us. He births us into His family. That needs to happen today. If you need more questions, call somebody, ask somebody, email us, contact someone, and ask them, can you tell me about Jesus? Now, for those who are saved, I bring this back to our attention to point and going, it's over and over in these passages, it's through Jesus. God has through Jesus, even in our life, He's saying, through Him in this passage, through Jesus, or these things that are to be done. Pursuing Jesus, pursuing to truly know the love of Jesus calls me to humility. Back in Philippians 2:8, Christ humbled Himself, became obedient, even to the death of the cross. To pursue Christ is to go and see this great love and it's humbling. You see how undeserving. There's something I should do to have to earn this. This can't just be that easy. And in a sense, it's not. It cost Him everything. But this pursuing and this through Christ should bring humility into our lives. Through Jesus, we grow in humility and grace flows to us. Grace upon grace flows to us. Truly knowing and loving Jesus is my worship. That is my worship. Last week's message, Pastor Rush made these two statements. The stream of God's grace, it's in Jesus. Quote, it's in Jesus. It's through Jesus that grace comes. Hoping in the grace of God given to us in Jesus. Did you get that from last week? It is grace. Because He had also made a statement back in a previous message, I think 2 weeks ago, saying grace should be fueling our labors. If we are walking in Christ and we are pursuing Jesus and we are loving Jesus and longing to know Jesus and to understand this great love, grace will flow through Jesus. Humility comes and grace flows. Grace flows like Niagara Falls for us. Have you ever been to Niagara Falls? Go ahead, raise your hand. You didn't know I could see in your room, did you? I can't really. Have you ever been to Niagara Falls? Have you seen Niagara Falls? There's a picture. I went to look to try to get a grasp of what this looks like, and that in through Christ, grace flows to us, lavished on us. Go back to the first other picture. There you go. That's Niagara Falls. Is that what you were thinking when I said Niagara Falls? I went over there and I looked and I'm thinking, huh, I had never seen that before. There's actually three falls located at that place. One's in the United States, and one of the other ones is more over on the Canada side. However, in 1969, this got dammed up to remove rocks, to do some things there at Niagara Falls. But when I went over and I thought, huh, this is more than what I expected. Because when we don't go through Christ, this is how grace flows. Grace still flows to us. Grace flows to this world. Common grace flows. But when we separate ourselves from doing through Jesus, we get over more in a proud state and I've got this. And in my pride, it restricts the flow of grace. God in James tells us God opposes the proud. He gives grace to the humble. So if we're going to do the things that Pastor Rush is talking about and sinking our roots into grace, there is through Jesus and pursuing Jesus, this work of humility that works in us, and it just causes God's grace to flow into our lives, which will then help to produce the labors and the sacrifices that He's asking for that I can't do in my flesh. The through Jesus allows, show the other one. There you go. That's what you think of when you think of Niagara Falls. It's flowing at 76,000 gallons a second. It's open. It's God pouring out His grace on us as we, in through Jesus, exalt Christ and our lives are consumed with Jesus and knowing the love of Jesus and pursuing others with the love of Christ to exalt, to praise His name, produces those kind of works within us. God, can you imagine that when we leave this, that we are in opposition with God? You don't stand a chance. He is opposing us. Why? Because this is the way you do it. You do it through my Son. You do it through Jesus. I have worked all things to make Him preeminent, that He would have first place in everything. Everything. Consumed. Through Jesus, if we loving Him, sinking our roots into Him, that's how grace comes. That's how grace fuels our labors. It's when we leave that pride comes in. How is your worship? Worship Jesus. Use number one, worship Jesus this week. Set your mind, set your heart to worship Jesus. Take steps to seek Jesus as a hidden treasure. Seek Jesus to love Him supremely over everything else during this week. Set your mind to try to, moment by moment, And we all know, it's literally second by second. Trying to live and through Jesus, live my life. Humbling myself so that grace flows. Consume yourself to love Jesus with everything you have. That Jesus will come to have first place in everything. Point number two. Sacrifices pleasing to God. He goes on. So we took three words here. I think it's extremely important to remind us to come back to Jesus. That He is our everything. That we, apart from Him, we can do nothing, He tells us. He is the vine. Sacrifices pleasing to God. The scripture goes on and says, let us continually offer up sacrifices of praise to God. That is, the fruit of lips that give thanks to His name. And do not neglect to do good and sharing, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. Continually, let us, believers, all of us, who have been saved, who are followers of Jesus, who love Jesus, who long to love Jesus more, to grow in the knowledge of the love that Jesus has for us. Let us continually, word there, offer up sacrifices of praises, continually, constantly, always, through, on account of, through Him, on account of Jesus, because of Jesus, we continually, all, every, Strong's in his concordance there, it just goes on and says, all things, all kinds, all men, all people, all respects, always, continually, entire, every form, every kind, every way, every respect, everyone, everything, forever. Just continually, this is what flows from us. Continual praise. And it's a sacrifice. It's not a sacrifice if it doesn't cost you something. This is costly. But it is joyfully costly. If you remember in 1 Peter 2:9, it says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. We know that even from the preaching of last week, Christ has gone out and left the camp and went to the cross, and He made the ultimate sacrifice. There is no more sacrificing for sins. He has done it. He has completed it. It is finished. That sacrifice doesn't need to be made. But here's two sacrifices that God still likes to see. These sacrifices that please Him. So if you think, we're a royal priesthood. We are priests who now can offer up sacrifices of praise to God. A specific kind of praise. Fruit of lips that give thanks to His name. Thanksgiving. I'm grateful for a pastor who made much of thanksgiving. Ephesians 5:20. Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. Don't run by Him. Yes, it's a trinity. I can't explain all that to you. And we will close out with the verses that Pastor Rush led. Read to us, and you will see the whole Trinity right there in those verses doing a work. But as God has chosen to work through Jesus and to exalt Jesus, thankfulness. thanksgiving for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. Colossians 3, 15 through 16. I even went back and checked myself. I'm going, three verses right dead in a row. Let the peace of Jesus Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Jesus Christ richly dwell within you. Pastor Rush gave us 3 points last week. How do you do this? How do you accomplish this? It's through the word, through the people of God, through the ordinances of God. Let the peace of Christ, Jesus Christ, rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Verse 16, let the word of Jesus Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus through Him. Through Jesus, giving thanks through Jesus to God the Father. It's over and over and over all through the Scriptures in the New Testament. Thanksgiving crushes pride and produces humility. Thankfulness crushes grumbling and complaining. It's God's answer to our fight against our pride through Jesus. Thankfulness. How can you be angry at your wife if you're truly thankful to God for her? Thankfulness is a fight against sin that so creeps into us, because most of the time, if you look at somebody and say, you know, what's the root of the sin? It's pride. It's pride. And here he tells us this in Jesus, thankfulness. The second sacrifice. Through Jesus, he says, don't forget. Don't forget doing good and sharing sacrificially, costly. There's a lot of people who do good in this world, but it's not for the name and the glory of Jesus Christ. There's a difference. And doing good is not just for those that I like. A comment was made in our community group the other day. It's like, well, you know, we were talking about trying to reach people and going after people, and it's like, yeah, but I usually kind of go after people I like. You know? They're like me, so it's easy for me to build a relationship with them. I'm talking about doing good and sharing the things that God has given to us. Not just to those who are easier to love, but those who are unloving. Those who are difficult to get along with. Those who are lost, that are totally different than me. I don't even know how can I even ask them into my home for dinner? Because we're so different. Do they look at me as I'm odd, or do I look at them and they're odd? Will I make a sacrifice, humble myself, have those and give to those who need and share and do good for the exaltation of Christ? Opening a door for somebody, that's doing good. Anybody can do that, but if I take the opportunity and said, praise Jesus, hope you have a great day, exalt Jesus in doing good. Sorry, I think I left the camera. My bad. I got a hand back there going, uh-uh. Sacrificially. For His namesake, all that God has given to us. You say, how much? How much is enough? How much is this? Those are things you have to work through. Ask somebody to help you. However, if you go over and you read Ephesians 5, 1 and 2, here's a high calling. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. That's my desire, whatever that is. If it's a little thing that's costly, or if it's a big thing that's costly. At least it's through Jesus that my heart is set, that this love that has been given to me, has been demonstrated to me, this love that I cannot even comprehend, is to produce these things in me. Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in you, he bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. Through Jesus. Use number two this week. May our worship, our love, our pursuit of Christ, the striving to make him first in everything. Worship leads to God-pleasing sacrifices. Seek to do good through Jesus' name this week. Look for, ask God. Give you do-good sharing opportunities. For the sake of his name. What I'm talking about is this is like a Martha and Mary all rolled up into one. You got Mary that is sitting at the feet of Jesus and she's worshiping Christ. She's breaking open an expensive bottle to anoint his feet, and then just a love for Christ. And Martha's busy doing the work that needs to be done. And it takes both. It's doing both. And it's living that through Jesus. This is the part that I always like, because it's like, how do we do this? And we ask this in community group, and it's amazing. Ask somebody, go, how do you walk in the Spirit? Go ahead. Ask them. See what kind of response you get. We're usually fearful to even say anything because, like, oh, so you walk in the Spirit? Well, I don't know if I want to claim that. Is that prideful? You know? But it's amazing. There's things like you have a hard time getting an answer for. How do we do this? Again, last week, it's being in the Word. Pastor Rush gave it to us. Yes, it's in the Word of God. In knowing and seeing who Jesus is, being reminded once again of the preeminence of Christ. And that everything in us and through him is how we are to operate to God by the power of the Spirit. It's all working together in us. Jesus being the focal point. With the people of God, he states, in ordinances together. We can also add prayer, memorization, meditation. There's all kinds of spiritual disciplines that help in these things. But it's for the purpose of knowing and loving Jesus, knowing and loving God, knowing and loving the Holy Spirit, and knowing that this is a work of God. But again, how do you do this? How do you do this? I was talking with somebody earlier in the week, and kind of came up with, it's like a person who is out of shape. And they've decided, I'm going to get in shape. I've had enough of this. And I'm going to make a change. And so we all have probably done this. There was a time, I know you wouldn't believe this, but there was a time when I worked out and I was in really good shape. And you go and you start to make changes. Okay, I'm going to change my diet. I'm going to change the way I eat. And then I'm going to probably start working out. I'm going to exercise. I may start lifting weights. I'm going to run. One time I did this, Pastor Rusher gave me like PX90 or something like that. He said, man, you need to kind of like warm up to this. I'm going, I got it. Everyone, about the third morning, I'm sitting over on the dog's box that has holds their dog food, and I am like seeing stars. You know, I'm thinking, I'm going to see Jesus today. This is ridiculous. But we start working at it, right? We make changes. We experience, matter of fact, you may even, here, do this diet for 30 days, and next thing you know, you can take a picture with holding your pants out like this, and about a half a person can get in with you. We will make some changes, and then we see some success. And for some, we'll increase what we're doing. We will go even buy even better food or more types of food or more things that will help us. I'll set aside more time. So if this happened, what would happen if I start doing this? And you like seeing the success, and so we increase this and more good results. At some point, the field narrows. Some people stop. They settle. I'm good. Some people stop altogether and fall back into what they were before. Others go on and it starts to consume them. It controls their time. They give more and more time, more and more money, more and more effort. Some go to where they get so compelled and so involved and passionate to this working that they become almost professionals at it. This is all they do. They lift weights. They eat this. They drink this. They go and they go to competitions. More and more. It's all they do. We know this is a work of God in us. But also, do the things necessary to pursue Him with everything in me. It's a both and. Some become satisfied with their love for Jesus and the love that they know of Jesus, and others continue on down the narrow way and will make every effort through Jesus. Every effort through Jesus to know the love of Jesus, which surpasses knowledge, so that we may be filled with all the fullness of God. 1 Corinthians 9:22 through 27 states, Paul talks about this, discipline. I discipline myself. I run the race to win. I box, and I don't box beating the air. There is a focus that we do, and not that I'm trying to do the work that will produce this, but I make the time available so that I spend the time with the Lord in the pursuit of Jesus, and that my goal is that Jesus would become first in everything, and that my love would be for Jesus, and everything that flows from me comes from Jesus. From Jesus, the fullness of God given to us through Jesus Christ. One pastor that I looked at in my studies said it like this: as I savor the illumination of the love of Jesus Christ, I hear Paul say, in Him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. I hear him say, in Him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. Again, in Him all hidden are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Paul prays that we would experience Jesus Christ's fullness, not just know about it, but be filled with it. And here's the way I hear him praying for me. As Pastor Rush read earlier, we'll read it again. He said, for this reason I bow my knee before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. That God would be to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Jesus Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints, with all of us, what is the breadth, the length, and height, and depth, and to know the love of Jesus Christ, which surpasses knowledge. I don't even know if I know what that means. To know Christ that goes beyond knowledge? That you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. The fullness of God is experienced. He says, as we are given the strength to comprehend the love of Christ in its height and depth and length and breadth, that is, in its fullness, this is remarkable. The fullness of God is a spiritual comprehension, the experience of the fullness of the love of Christ. It fills the Son of God and pours out on us. Through Jesus. Are we making every effort? Do I want to know the breadth, the length, the height, the width, to know the depth of this love of Jesus? Oh, how I long for all of us to know this. Give yourself time, quietness during this Advent season. And seek Jesus. Pray for yourself this prayer of Ephesians. I ask you to pray every day for the whole month. Multiple times a day. Pray this to Christ, to God. Do this in me. I want this. I want to know the love of Jesus like this. Knowing this will change us, will humble us, will grace will flow, and God will use us, and we will more than willingly make sacrifices of doing good, praise, lifting praise of thanksgiving to God. Oh, the thanksgiving that would flow from us as we get overwhelmed with the love of Jesus. Every day, multiple times a day, do this during this Christmas season. This is my prayer for us this morning. Let us pray. Oh God, how that we would experience the fullness of Jesus Christ. That we would know in our hearts the love of Jesus. And just that the simplest taste would give us an appetite that is absolutely insatiable. That even as the Scripture tells us, that the glory of the only Son, Jesus, from the Father would shine into our hearts and give us the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We sang a song this morning that we would look to the face of Jesus Christ. Oh, I pray that we would be amazed. I pray that we would be astounded that Jesus can be so real to us. That you would explode salvation in our lives, that we would see it in all of its magnificence and glory. The awe that almost causes us to put our hand over our mouth. Oh, the love of God demonstrated to us in Jesus. Grow that in each one of us. We love you. We want to love you more. We want to know you more. Help us in our weakness. Do this work in us by your grace. Through Jesus' name we pray. Amen.